You're listening to the Yeshiva of Newark podcast. I'm your host and curator, Rabbi Avram Kivalevich, and I hope you enjoy this episode. With downloads approaching the million mark and an archival library numbering in the thousands, the Yeshiva of Newark podcast has been striving to continuously upgrade our content, professionalize our audio sound, along with altering approaches in light of much appreciated listener feedback. I firmly believe the niche has been carved out that resonates with many on the wide spectrum of observant Jews. This explains why we continually rank high in independent online lists of top yeshiva podcasts. That proud edifice is in real danger of toppling and disappearing. We need the help of our listeners to continue to record and edit, to promote a product that has been a balm and instructor to so many. Just $36. As a minimum donation from 1,000 of you out there will keep us afloat as a Newark of straight, intelligent, humorous discussion, lectures, debate, and inquiry, while the destructive waters of ignorance and identity politics, cyberbullying, crash around us. Your generous contributions will seal and galvanize this ark till it comes to a satisfying rest in an era of Moya Ritzdeya, heralding Mashiach, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen. And now, Rischa Daraisa, coming your way. Get ready. If it's the 21st day of Adar, Yom Rishon to the last full week of Adar Beis, this must be Rischa Daraisa. Rabbi Yosef Gario Bechafer, as we approach, really, hopefully the Yemei HaGeula Hamitis, you sent me something, two video pieces from Reshet 12, Channel 12, Channel 12 in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure, you know, I think it probably is, you could probably get a hold of it on your internet sites. Two reports. One of them was very, very disturbing, especially in light of what has been happening in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the idea that the lifting, the exemption from B'nai Torah, from the yeshivas, the people who are quote-unquote terosum nosai, to, I don't know if it's a gius of everyone, but definitely a substantive amount of personnel will arrive for some sort of public service. And on the heels of this, we had a, I'll get to the investigative report in a minute, but you also sent me Rav Moshe Hillel Hirsch's statement. What did he say again, Rabbi Yosef, from Moshe Hillel?
There's two types of Jews who are in opposition, so to speak, to Torah right now. One group of Jews doesn't hate us, doesn't hate Torah, but they don't understand that Torah is what keeps the Medina alive and keeps the Eretz Yisrael surviving its enemies. The other group hates Torah, hates Jews, religious Jews, hates the people who want to learn Torah and wants to reject Torah or wants to outlaw Torah altogether.
And those are the ones that, according to Rav Hirsch, Shlita, are running the show and pushing this terrible gzeira chamura against the Haredim, correct?
Correct.
When you hear this, and then Rabbi Yosef sends me, and I'm not sure where you got it, but this investigative report that was conducted by Channel 12's, I guess, two crack investigative journalists. One of them who has a very nice chup, but super long payas. I'm not sure who he is. What's his name again, that fellow?
Zilberschlag.
He definitely has a flair for the dramatic. There's no question about it. In fact, I just want to say about both of these clips that you can find on Channel 12 that we're going to be talking about today, they both have a great dramatic and artistic power. I want to shout out how advanced the Israeli film and television industry has become. Part of what makes both of these videos effective is how professionally they're done. A little subtle plug about keeping our conversations professional and entertaining. but yes, send us some money, please, so we can compete with Channel 12. Yeah, that would be great. You know, me and you could be the new investigative reporters. That would be great. Yes, yes. But anyway, in this investigative report, which is basically, it's terrible if you watch it, they basically, you know, discover two guys who were former Haredim, who are now Chilonim, who were part of the system, and they are telling you the inside story. Their voices were altered. One of them sounds like you, though. I don't know.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't you. But anyway, basically, these two guys talk about how there's at least a good 20% of the yeshivas that don't really exist. There's only 15% that they call spitz, guys who are learning, and that 40% after that are sort of like leidigers who come in and basically don't really care about learning. They're not the ones that must mean. They're the ones you talked about who read comic books. And then you have another shadowy 35% who really aren't in yeshiva at all. And this is what this expose was trying to prove. I'm not sure, you know, the numbers were very hard to ascertain, but that there is in the Haredish world, 35% of those numbers are totally fictional. In fact, some of the yeshivas are supposedly totally fictional, and they actually planted a wire and a camera onto one of these guys, and they showed how he was able to basically make phone calls to these shyster lawyers who are able to set up situations where they would get their patur. And the way it works is that, you know, it's somehow being handled by some yeshiva parchik guy, and of course it's understood that the stipend is going to go partially to this faker and partially to this yeshiva, and the lawyer gets part of it. They talked about the incredible black market of funds. And also, as they said before, the total, as much as the Israelis are stamping and demanding, the system itself is corrupt because there's so many people looking the other way, getting pays offs. And not only that, the expose indicated that even in the elementary schools, there is a tremendous amount of skullduggery, a tremendous amount of graft. There are schools that are specifically holding back students in order to get more monies from the government. There are classes that don't exist. One school that had 122 women teachers, that not one of them was actually on site, all supposedly earning a salary and therefore deserving of government help. It was quite incredible. And as you said, if the average Israeli who is, you know, after his tea coming home from his commute is watching this on Channel 12, you know what what expletives are going to be coming out of his mouth about the Haredim.
Yeah, even if it's totally not true, I'm willing to give the Haredim the benefit of the doubt and say this is not true at all. But how can Rav Moshe Shmuel Hirsch assume that the Chilonim are either type A or type B when this is what they're getting as their information? Even if it's totally not true, it's a problem. And probably it's not totally untrue.
Yeah, there's got to be some fire for this smoke. I don't know if it's a blazing conflagration, but there's got to be some. Listen, these two guys I don't trust at all, you know, these guys. But there probably is, you know, like I love what they said, which I'm sure is true, that many yeshivas only are wedding halls. There are many yeshivas, which, again, we can see that even in Lakewood, where so many of these yeshivas basically get their operating monies based on being halls for Simcha. It wouldn't surprise me that there are yeshivas that are only exist to host Simchas and are very, very little learning might be going on there. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But yeah, it is definitely a damning type of information.
And besides the Moshe Shmuel Hirsch, and deliberately it seems, I have no other way of understanding it, leaves out the whole religious Zionist community who are sincere in their appreciation of Torah, at the same time, sincerely don't want to be the only ones sending their kids to Gaza.
On that note, let's talk about Dor Yifrach, the other Channel 12 story, which was not, you know, a gritty investigative report. It was more the story of someone who in Khan Yunis fighting among with his friends, his comrades, coming from a definitely a Mesorati religious home, was an RPG was leveled where he was stationed with the rest of his comrades. Most of them died. He was buried under rubble, but was somehow able to survive alive. But unfortunately, as he recognized, he realized that he was not able to see. And this 15-minute program, this report, really takes this boy through. You can actually hear from him what he went through, the courage and greatness, the stoic power every single thing. Again, obviously it's a movie, but it's true. You can't fake this stuff. And when you see this fellow, yes, he's not wearing a yarmulke in the hospital, but you can see from his parents and you can see from everything about him, he puts on tefillin, and with his father, they daven together the day of his operation. It is extremely moving. I don't want to spoil it for any of you, but basically what you have over here is a fellow who is accepting the fact that he has fought for his country. He does it with humor. He's a person who's been blinded. He's a person and lost some of his best friends, who is confined, who needs help to walk and find things, but does it with an aplomb, who does it with a courage, with a strength. His parents who come by give him such support. How could anybody look and vilify that community? When you see that community, as you said, it's more than just a counterpoint. Those people are great. Those people are great in terms of their emuna. They're great in terms of their sacrifice and even the humor. And let's also talk about the incredible women doctors that serve in Eretz Yisrael, the ophthalmologists, the optical experts, the ones that deal with humor and understanding. You don't see people there crying in their farina. You see sufferers who suffer with dignity, with humor, with understanding. Everything about that world that the Haredim know nothing about. You can't fake.
Getting back to the other Rosh Hashiva Slabodka, you know what Rav Dov Lando's biggest mistake was? When Alon Erez, what was the guy's name, said, let them come visit people in the hospital. Let them come to Levias. And he said, no. Remember, we talked about that. Be Makir Tov. Understand what they're going through. Have some empathy.
And not only empathy, you should take that as a dugma. We don't need these trumped up, guddle stories to be able to understand what emuna is. When you hear Dor Yifrach say that if he gets his eyesight back, he's going to look at the world and only see toiv in people. This wasn't a prompted line that somebody wrote for him that he got out of an art scroll book. This was something that he himself felt. And when he talks about Zecheinu Levrocha, the people that died where he was fighting, and the sense that he has that he's not going to be angry with God. He's not a hater of God. He's not a hater of Torah. Yeah, I don't know how much high school or yeshiva learning he had, but I would be super proud to have a child like him.
That's Melech Haaretz, as they say in Israel. I don't know any yeshiva, what yeshiva bachur can be oimed b'mechit sasa, It's not simple. I don't understand how the rhetoric, and I'm not talking about the rhetoric on the other side being any better, but I don't expect better from the other people. I expect better from people who are Rosh Yeshiva, or it's supposed to be Yirei Shamayim, Ovei Hashem, Oivei Hashem, and Gedolim B'Yisrael. How can they it's a rhetorical question, but how can they resort to simple rhetoric of inflammatory and the denigrating character? It bothers me immensely.
And especially that being part of that world, and this is what I think, I don't know if you agree with me, that if an Ashnav can be opened, and they could also be yoinik from the courage, the ability that these families have. Those parents who were accepting, understanding the gaiva that they had, the gaiva in a good way, the pride that their son had served, the understanding of other people suffering. It is an immense, incredible, revolutionary overturning. It's not in their DNA, Rabbi Yosef. It's not that somehow people who serve, it's not that they somehow their DNA is different. It's the life that they are living, the understanding of the people that are with them. It strengthens you. The same way we know from the Rambam that you are nishba from those around you. We need some of that stuff. We need some, the Haredi Shevelt needs some of that courage, that power, that ability to be makabo.
How low can we stoop? And I tell you, this is the type of rhetoric which comes across on from my Haredi WhatsApp groups. It's just, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It's shameful.
Yeah. And as I said, I obviously I'm not wishing in any way that there should be korbonos, more korbonos. Yeah. But I do believe when I see those parents, and I can relate to them, my son did serve in the army, and I see the understanding that they have, the support that they have, and also there's an Israeli, I'll just say this again, there's a sort of almost a graveyard glib humor that the Israelis have. You know, in the operating room, even like in their places, and Baruch Hashem that there are, that the women in the Haredi society are able to rise to a position where they can actually be brought in to perform the most delicate and sensitive of operations. And without giving anything away, I'm sure you were also impressed by how those doctors were, that there was this, you are part of me. Mm-hmm. You could tell that the doctor felt that this was their own child. And that is something that the Haredi society, although again, no, I'm sure that the Haredim who use the Israeli healthcare system are also dealt with love and compassion. But can you imagine it would probably be multiplied 3 or 4 times if they knew that the person that they were dealing with was someone who was mishtatef in the tsar of the tzibur. A human being is a human being. And even though you are committed based on your Hippocratic oath or whatever, but when you see someone who you can emote with, connect with, you can balance that professional expertise with concern and care. And I think the Haredim who are going to be needing hospitalization, needing healthcare, needing that stuff, they are going to feel the ire of the nurses and attendees and attendants when they realize that they are considered parasitic. And that is something which is going to end up really impacting terribly. Have we heard any Haredi voice trying to try to stave this off? We talked about Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef a couple of weeks ago. Has anybody been speaking in any seichodik way on this matter? You know, I started this program with our typical what day it is, and I should have really said, of course, it is the Yahrzeit of the great Tzaddik Rav Melech of Lushansk, the Noyem Elimelech. And one of the things that I think is in the Tzetel Kotlin of the Noyem Elimelech, which is that we ask from the Rabbeinu Shalom to put in our hearts that we should see the qualities of people and not their faults. That's exactly what Dor Yifrach has said about getting, if he could get his eyesight back. Yes, and that is exactly what Dor Yifrach, this fellow that we were talking about, is saying from his hospital bed. And really, I think we should mention the greatness of the Noyem Elimelech. Now, the greatness of the Noyem Elimelech really stands from his Talmidim. But let's talk about the Choyza, the Apterov, Remendel Rimanover, the cousin Shemagid. I mean, you're talking here about the Rebbes that were Sarofim, all of them, right? All of them, Sarofim and Bali Ashpo. The Noyem Elimelech is a crucial link between the Magid and that next door. Now, Reb Zisha, of course, his brother, Reb Zisha and Poli, the main difference, of course, is that Reb Zisha is more of the stories about Reb Zisha abound. The stories about Reb Zisha as opposed to the writing. I think what Rav Elimelech would want is for us not just to tell the stories, as you would, you know, about himself and his brother, the emuna that they had and the great tzidkus that they had, but also to really develop the ideas. Now, the Tzetel Katan is obviously accessible, as is the letters in the back of the Noyem Elimelech. But the Sefer itself really does remain a Sefer Sosom. I don't know if you've tried. I know it's not in your wheelhouse, but have you tried to learn Noyem Elimelech, Rabbi Yosef?
Once or twice, not serious.
Well, the Noyem Elimelech, you really often are not sure what it is that you are absorbing. And I think the Noyem Elimelech is a sefer which I believe is really like an Evan Pina of Soidus HaTorah, and it needs to be really studied. It needs really to really invest yourself and to take time. I don't know if our generation has that zitzflesh to be able to do that. But again, we can spend thousands of dollars going to his kever and davening there. If we can be mezariz our oilam, it's not only to take the spirit and ideas of the Noyem Elimelech and see how they are being displayed by the Tzion Shevelt, by the courageous Chevra of Klal Yisrael, but also to really Geitzach Tzi and be matzil his machshavas tohiris, and maybe use them as a tzinor for true aliyah.
I want to say something about going back to that idea of Dor Yitzchak, which is that what you mentioned about seeing the Milas Chaveinu. Rabbi Moshe Hill Hirsch, in this piece, he spoke about how we have to be Moiser Nefesh for Torah. We haven't been Moiser Nefesh enough for Torah. I don't think we have a Musaka Mesiris Nefesh. I think Dor Yitzchak has a Musaka Mesiris Nefesh. What does it mean, Mesiris Nefesh for Torah, at this point? You know, Sinabase Medish, in a few more hours, I'll learn the Tzais Abyssal Tifer. I mean, you want to talk about Mesiris Nefesh? Say, we should learn Mesiris Nefesh from these people who go out and are really Moiser Nefesh Mamish.
Look, you see Chazal learning from the Tzfardeya, the idea of Kiddush Hashem. Alachas kama v'kama, we should learn from Bnei Yisrael themselves, who, as we say, Anoshim Eini Mechon Mu'amrim Mechitzosam. There are definitely Harugei Lud. The Harugei Lud, yeah. You see the Chazal are consistently being Meshabeach this. And I'm not cherry-picking. I mean, Yosef and I are people, we aren't just cherry-picking Maimarim that happen to align with what we believe. I think both of us are decrying what we see as something that is, I'm not going to say it's a cancer, but it is something that is metastasizing and getting worse.
Precancerous.
Yes. it is growing at an alarming rate.
I don't know. It could be we're the only sane people left, the two of us, which is shocking to even contemplate. Do you imagine?
Of course, I might just be imagining you and dreaming you up. That might be the truth, too. You might only be existing as a cholam that I'm having. You might be, as Charles Dickens said when Jacob Marley came to him, you might just be a baked potato that I didn't digest properly. Take care, my friends. We'll catch you, Mirtz Hashem, as we head into, of course, next week, and as we get to Rosh Chodesh. Yes, we'll kasher our pots for Rosh Chodesh. A special kashering episode. You can't get it better than Rizcha Daraisa, because we are definitely going to apply the heat to all the situations. Believe me. Kiboyloim kach poltei. Be well, everybody. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please take a moment to share this or any of the many episodes available on our platform with friends in order to help grow our community. Until next time, Shalom.